Thank you for joining us. AllAfrica.com invited site visitors to submit questions that they wanted me to ask you. And several remarked that international financial institutions for decades promoted cuts in spending, including for agriculture, education, and health. In retrospect, was that harmful? And also, you said that era is over. Is it really over?
Well, it's not totally fair to say that international organization, and I don't want to talk on behalf of the other organization, but it's almost the same thing, at least let's talk about the IMF, as we're in any way asking for cut in a specific kind of spending. When we come to a country having a huge deficit, there's no other way to save the country than to reduce the deficit. Now you may do it in a different way. You may increase taxes or cut some expenditures. Cutting expenditures, you may cut this kind of expenditures and another kind of expenditures. And this is the call of the government. It's never the call of the IMF. What the IMF does is to say, look, to be in a safer way, this year you need to save X billion. And then next year, another Y billion. How do you want to do it? And the countries comes with proposal. Then we discuss. You say this measure will save 100 billion. We don't believe this. It will save only 50 billion. So we have a discussion. And finally, we find an agreement. But the natures of the question of the cut at stake is never decided by the IMF. And the country has to decide itself what is more important, what is less important.
So many of the countries I've been in have all talked about how they were forced to cut social spending.
But that's just human nature, you know. If I were in their shoes and have to go on TV and explain my people that I messed up the year before, that now I have to cut expenditure, I will always say it's the responsibility of the IMF. Of course, we're used to that. But the reality is that if we come in a country for helping them, it's just because they ask us to come, because they messed up. If not, they don't ask us to come. So the real problem comes from what has been done before the arrival of the IMF, not after the arrival of the IMF.
But you also talked about how things have changed.
Right. The fact is, one of the drawbacks of what has been done in the past, in my view, is that when the IMF had to do with the country, because the countries were really in a bad situation, the IMF didn't try to solve only the problem at stake, but to fix many other problems in the economy. And sometimes they were right. Other problems needed to be fixed also. But that was not really the problem of the day. And so they created a bigger problem than the problem to solve. Let me give you an example. You have a deficit problem. You need to fix this deficit problem. Answers is either on the expenditure side or on the revenue side. At the same time, you may realize that there is a huge problem of land reform in the country. And obviously, it will be good for the country, for the future, to make the structural reform and having land reform. That's a big political thing, maybe very difficult. That's not absolutely needed to fix the problem which is at stake at this right moment. In the past, the IMF will come with a lot of conditions, not only the one which are needed to fix the problem immediately, but also other conditions, certainly useful for the country, but not needed immediately, and creating more political problem than solving question. That we get rid of. And now the number of conditions in an IMF program has streamlined, considerably has shrunk by a factor two. There are almost half the number of conditions compared to the past. And that's one way I had in mind when I said the IMF has changed.
You just gave an example, but people do, who wrote to us, talk about failures of costly development programs and say that there are more failures than success stories. Can you mention examples from both categories and talk about what makes some economic programs succeed while others fail?
Well, I'm not going to make a list of failures, especially in looking backward. I prefer to look at successes and also to look forward. But it's just fair enough to answer your question. You know, during the last decade, African countries, not only Western Africa, also Eastern Africa, have experienced growth about 6 to 7% a year. It never happened in the past, over decades, never. Why did it happen? Because finally those countries were forced to implement the good policy. Why were they forced to do that? because the international community set up a big program of debt cancellation. And the condition for this debt cancellation was to have a good track record in the policy, in the economic policy. So because of this carrot of debt cancellation, countries said, okay, we're going to follow what you say. We're going to implement the policy you say. And the result was the highest growth ever. So if this is not a success, what is a success?
Can they do that without the IMF now? Is it?
Hopefully.
Have they reached that point?
Hopefully. I mean, they have to take ownership of this policy and to implement the right policy alone. I mean, the biggest success in the IMF is that nobody asks us to come. So I hope that in most countries, the memories of this period where good policy has been put in place, which, by the way, was the reason why they were able to cope with the crisis, because they built some fiscal room and may make this countries able to spend more during the crisis to cope with the crisis. And that's one of the reasons why the crisis hasn't been as bad in Africa. I'm not saying it has been good, of course, but not as bad as we could have expected, because many countries had some fiscal room. This is also the result of the policy put in place years ago.
Now, some people who wrote in talked about Africa's debt burden and how it's a widespread concern, with debt service siphoning off resources, not only from the social safety net, but also from investments in infrastructure and economic growth. And your own survey, IMF, 2 years ago, found that poor countries were facing litigation from at least 46 commercial creditors. Civil society analysts want to know if the IMF will support curbs on commercial credit practices, such as the so-called vulture funds that buy poor countries' debt and sue to collect it.
Well, frankly, it's not our job. We have a limited mandate, and then our mandate does include the fact that we will be part of litigation between private creditors and debtors. But sometimes, again, it's always the same thing. This kind of problems may have macroeconomic and macrofinancial consequences. In this case, we step in. And there are many examples where the IMF was asked to give an assessment of the debt sustainability of the countries. But then, when we come to the real litigation, then it's not the business of the IMF. We can provide advice, but we're not part of this litigation.
But is it bad?
Well, you know, everybody has to do his own job. I'm happy when people are asking the IMF to do more. It's not always consistent with the previous question, which was when the IMF comes in, they messed up, so you have to choose your side. But I think that being a multilateral institution and a public institution, it's right for us to come in, to step in when countries have problems with other countries, even on private question. I have a good example about what happened in DRC last year. In a nutshell, the Democratic Republic of Congo had a big deal with Chinese companies which wanted to invest in mining. And our view was that the contract was not really fair. And so we decided to help DRC to renegotiate this contract with the Chinese. It was, from one point of view, a private contract between private companies in China and certainly the government of DRC on the other side. But there was a kind of private contract. I decided to help the DRC because I really found that the deal was unfair, and at the end of the day, we get a much better contract, a much better deal for Congo. So it may happen when the investment is that big that it will have macroeconomic consequences on the country that we need to step in. But in general, that's private business.